I don't know about you, but it feels like a lot of my friends are now getting on that baby train. If you have a friend who is also expecting or have little ones still in diapers, I always recommend Pampers Swaddlers. With Pampers Swaddlers, you can also rest assured that this diaper will prevent up to 100% of leaks, even blowouts. Swaddlers has dual leak guard barriers at the legs to help protect where leaks happen most, and they have a blowout barrier, which is an innovative back pocket built into the diaper to help prevent those messy leaks up the back. Did you know that on average, babies will use up to 8,000 plus diapers before becoming potty trained? That is a lot. That's why Pampers Diaper Stash is the hottest baby gift for 2024. So give a gift to a loved one that says, "We see you and we've got you." Pampers Diaper Stash is an online diaper fund that all parents with little ones will love. You can organize friends and family to contribute to a group gift of an online stockpile that never has to run out. Pampers Diaper Stash is great because it takes the guesswork out of choosing what size and how many diapers to gift. It's so easy to do, and it's the gift that always fits.
Welcome to ABG, Asian Boss Girl, a podcast for the modern day Asian American woman. I'm Janet.
I'm Mel.
And I'm Helen.
Weddings. A topic I honestly love talking about. In our first season, we talked about our fantasies about our dream wedding, but we realized that there's a new perspective that we didn't talk about, attending a wedding as a guest. I feel like the wave of weddings has just begun for me, and I'm learning a lot.
Yes, I've had my fair share of attending many weddings of close friends and family, and depending on the type of wedding, there are lots of different traditions and unspoken things that, you know, you kind of need to know as a guest. Everything from how much to gift, to, you know, what are the protocols around bringing a plus one, to what you should expect when you're attending the wedding.
I agree. And although this might be different for every bride and groom, you always want to fall within a certain range of what's expected. And now that we are in our 30s and have attended a fair amount of weddings from our friends, we've gotten a good sense of what that range looks like. So for this episode, we will walk through tips we've learned about attending weddings as a guest, and in the spirit of the returning wedding season, share some fun stories of attending weddings too.
So to give some people context, how many weddings have you each attended?
Oof, honestly, it's hard to count because I did go to a lot of weddings as a kid, seeing aunts and uncles and the older generation get married, which were mostly like Chinese banquet style weddings and the traditional Chinese tea ceremony type weddings. But as an adult, I think the first wedding I attended might have been my high school volleyball coach. Shout out to Hui if you're listening. But that was a super fun wedding. A lot of my volleyball friends were there, and we were definitely hitting up the bars. I've also been to my sister's wedding in Hawaii, which I was the maid of honor for. Okay. My friend Amy's wedding in Costa Rica. My friend Johnson and Yuri's wedding in Jersey. Cassie Ho, Bloglottis, her wedding. She had a gorgeous wedding in Palm Springs. And we've been to a handful of close friends' weddings in Boston, in LA, in the Bay. And I also went to my first boyfriend's wedding in Toronto, which I attended with Philip, which is pretty funny.
Wow, an interesting full circle experience.
Yes. Yeah. But that was a very good time. So I would say that I've been to a solid, like, maybe like 20 plus weddings.
Damn, that's a lot. 20 plus weddings?
I think so, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's like looking at the list of these weddings plus the ones that were in Boston and LA that I haven't listed out, I think probably about 20.
Damn, that's a lot.
Oh my gosh. We're learning a lot from you today.
Yeah. I think I've attended about like 11, and I didn't count the ones from childhood because I don't really remember if I attended when I was kids, like, you know, like family friends and stuff. But in terms of people my age, I would say about 11, and six of those I was in as either a bridesmaid or a maid of honor. And they've spanned everywhere from, it sounds like, Helen, you've been to a lot of like destination weddings. Mine have spanned mostly around the California area, and sometimes they were like beachfront, and then others that were in people's backyards and their homes. So it's been kind of a spread and a variety. And I'm looking at my list, and I'm like, it's always I'm invited on the side of the bride. I don't know if I've ever been invited to a wedding where like I was on the side of the groom. So I don't know. I guess I don't have too many guy friends.
The upcoming wedding that we're going to.
Yes, actually, yeah. Actually, he's my first one that is like, he's a guy friend that's getting married.
Nice.
So I guess, yeah, I don't have too many super close guy friends, and the ones I do have, they're not married yet. And same with family. Like, my cousins, none of them have gotten married yet who are guys. But yeah, how about you, Mel?
Dang, you both have gone to a lot of weddings. Wow.
Sorry. I feel like you went to a lot of weddings this year.
Yeah, yeah, I know. You
have. I just found out I had to, I'm going to another wedding next in 2 months. I'm like, what? I've been to a total of 6 weddings. But I will say that maybe a half of them are more like my close, maybe like my close friends versus like the other ones are like a family friend. And I think similarly to Janet, mostly on the bride side. Mm-hmm. But I feel like it's actually my kind of like this year has been like my first like wave of like my really, really close friends' weddings. Like this year I was also in 2 weddings and then I attended 2 weddings as well. So I think I'm learning a lot of the different etiquettes, like still, even as like a fresh, I know 6 sounds like kind of like a lot, but to be honest, I don't think it is. So I'm going to learn a lot from today's conversation, just hearing both your guys' stories of attending weddings. So far only 6, 7 after October, because my cousin's getting married.
Oh, yeah. Nice. Actually, now that I think about it, I think one of the reasons why I've attended so many weddings is because I attended a lot of Philip's friends' weddings, and he's attended a lot of my friends' weddings. Oh. So these are friends that I probably wouldn't have gone to weddings for, but they're all getting married around this time. So I've probably been to like 3 to 5 of his friends' weddings, and that wouldn't have been part of my list. But
That's true. Yeah.
Actually, Mel, so have all of your weddings been like you were invited versus you were taken as a plus one?
I was invited.
Yeah. I actually, I don't think I've ever been a plus one to a wedding.
Wait, I was only one. I was my uncle's plus one.
Aw, so sweet. For what wedding?
One of his coworkers in Malibu. Okay.
Dang, that's a nice
I know. Wedding to my uncle's like one of my good friends, so it's not like, why are you going on some weird?
Yeah. That sounded okay to us, but I'm sure there are people out there that are like, wait, what?
Yeah. My uncle's also gay, so it's also, we have a really cool like relationship.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, according to The Knot, here are some tips and some wedding guest etiquette to follow. And I will list out 3 of them. 1 is to RSVP ASAP. 2 is to be mindful of your cell phone. Don't block the aisle during photos. And 3 is to arrive early. I mean, have you ladies ever arrived late or had someone arrive late to a wedding you were attending?
So I was trying to think back, and I don't think I've ever arrived late to a wedding. Or if I have, it was like right before, like there was like a major cutoff time. Like I've never like walked in when the bride and groom are already like, you know, at down the aisle or doing the thing. But I have noticed that when I've attended, especially if you have family there, a lot of times like older people might arrive a little later or people with kids if they allow kids at the wedding. So there was actually when I attended my cousin Daphne's wedding. Our cousin Stacy had her baby was only like a couple months and their wedding was like in this kind of like vineyard thing and you had to like take a shuttle in. So they were a little late, you know, but in the back. But yeah, I think mostly I've only noticed when they're kids and if they're older. And the general etiquette is you just kind of like stay in the back. You don't want to disrupt the ceremony. Right. Mm-hmm. So sometimes things you don't want to be late. But if it happens, you can just like try to not draw attention away from the ceremony.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. I'll be honest. I have arrived late once and I felt really bad about it. I don't think I allocated enough time, but I arrived, it was at the church. So I just caught it when she was walking down the aisle, but I felt so bad.
Wait, hold on, time out. So you trailed her? Like you trailed behind her?
Here comes the bride.
Might as well just pick up her dress and start helping her out. Yeah.
No, I whispered to her, like, you look really, I was like, Mal, like, you look really pretty. And I waited until, like, she was down the aisle. And then when, like, they were doing, like, please be seated, whatever, I went from the side. So no one saw me.
Okay.
So no one saw me sneak in.
Yeah.
But I will say that's a horrible thing as a guest to arrive late. But I will say that there's one time, I always remember this instance. My aunt Christy was getting married and she got married also at a vineyard. And it's the ceremony, it's like when someone's late, you know someone's late because you have to walk all the way across to where the ceremony was taking place. You hear all the footsteps and stuff and the stairs coming down the wooden stairs. And so they were in the middle of the ceremony and my other uncle arrives late with his kids. But things, instead of waiting in the back, they like walked hella loud to the seats and I'm just like oh shit, like you guys see the look on like my uncle Steve's, who's my aunt Christy's younger brother or older brother's face, is like, what the F are you doing? Like what you shouldn't be doing this. And then I don't know if I should reveal this, but I remember we're leaving the ceremony, I hear my uncle Steve going, I'm gonna fucking kill like little blank name, like, which is my uncle. So I was like, ooh. As a kid, I remember like, oh, you shouldn't do that. Like, come running to the ceremony when you're late.
Totally agree with that. I mean, I I guess I'm a little guilty too.
Wait, so, really?
Yeah, well, so I have been that person that arrived. Either it was like a little bit later or like right on time. Mm. But it was right before the procession started with people walking down the aisle. So we ran into the whole bridal party. The bride like was still further away and the groom was still further away. But it's the bridal party. They were ready to like just start the intros and start walking in. But kind of like you, Mel, I think it was like you see the bridal party and then as you're walking in, you're like, have a good time, you know, yeah. Kind of like squeeze in, but honestly not a good look because when the doors open, the doors are already closed, the doors open, everyone thinks it's the bride and groom that's about to come out.
Shoot.
But I'm like, nah, it's just me, y'all, like, my bad. So definitely, definitely arrive early. And that's a lesson that I learned and mm-hmm. have adjusted to at least arrive like half an hour early.
Yes.
Because on the invitation, when it says wedding starts at 6 p.m., it sometimes actually starts at 6 p.m.
Yeah,
like there is no buffer time. Mm-hmm. And that depends on the couple and how they're obviously, you know, planning out their wedding. But I noticed that a lot of times it starts like at the time that it mm-hmm. says. Mm-hmm. So arrive early, build in some buffer time, get there half an hour early and just be seated before everything starts.
Yeah. I'm curious, what wedding was this that you're late to?
Oh my gosh, I don't remember. It might have been like one of my family friends' weddings at a church.
So at least it wasn't like someone you knew directly too well.
Yeah, like my friends weren't watching and they're like, fucking hell. No, it was just like random people like, who's this random girl?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But it's still, I think it also depends on the venue, right? Like you were saying, if you have to walk down a long path to get to your seat, know that ahead of time and for sure be there ahead of time. And if it's a church and the doors are closed, like that's the worst.
Yeah. Versus outdoor. I think most of the weddings I've been have been outdoor. So if like family or kids trickle in the back, it's like not as noticeable.
That's
but if the doors are closed, it's kind of like.
Yeah.
Surprise!
So Jay's the only good one that has not shown up late.
I mean, or I just have a really bad memory because I like trying to remember. Mm. I'm like, I don't think so, but I might have.
You just block it out of your memory.
I just block it out, yeah.
Well, luckily for the three of us, hopefully we don't arrive late to each other's wedding.
Oh, hell no.
I'm gonna hit you side of the head.
So the next topic that is really popular for guests to think about when you're attending a wedding is what to give the bride and the groom.
Mm.
So I think if for anyone who's new to weddings, registry is a thing, and I feel like it's becoming like a more old school thing that usually the bride and the groom will have a registry, which means that they will have a list of things, or they've registered at a department store. In the past, it's been when they want like home goods, because in the past it's like the bride and groom get married and then they buy a home together and then they need to furnish the home. So mm-hmm. you're usually like gifting them things to start their life together. And the registry would be like, at a store of like the different home goods that they would want.
Mm-hmm.
But nowadays, I feel like it's becoming more popular for people to like get like a honeymoon fund that you can donate money to or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any like interesting other gifting type of situations that you guys have seen throughout the weddings you've attended?
No, I mean, I only attended a few, but yes, honeymoon fund I see a lot now. And then you do it actually on their website.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing I will note is that sometimes you forget, like people will forget, like, oh, don't forget to go on the website, versus like I think other places have like a money box or like a place that you a table to put the gifts on.
Yeah.
Not saying that I forgot, I'm just saying these are
Mel, how do you know that?
No, I mean, maybe
well, that's that's true, because in the past people would like physically bring the gift.
Exactly.
And now because everything's online, you don't really there's not really a way to track.
Yeah, I feel like all the weddings I've been to have asked mostly for a fund. But to be honest, I think most of the brides, they're both Asian American, specifically like Taiwanese American. So I actually always gifted red envelopes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I'm just like, here's a red Chinese. I just always have red envelopes on hand now. Like I haven't gifted anything else, like a physical card besides that.
Hmm. How much do you normally give in your red envelopes?
Okay, so that's the thing I would love to learn from you both. Like I heard the minimum you should always give is $100 as one person.
Mm.
Like if you're coming with a plus one, then you increase it. But also I heard it also depends on like, I guess the venue, but I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I would say that $100 is usually a good rule of thumb, and you can kind of increase or decrease it from there based on how close you are to the bride and groom. But if I know for like Chinese weddings, they usually like to end on the number 8 or 9.
Oh.
So 8 representing fortune and 9 symbolizing long lasting in Chinese culture, which is a popular number for weddings. So you either do like 108 or 118 or 199 or something like that. But I think in general, the amount that you give is supposed to cover the cost of your dinner mm-hmm. and your guest dinner. So if you bring a guest, you should be gifting on their behalf also, basically doubling what you would normally give just for yourself. So think about how much your dinner costs. And obviously, you don't know like how much the wedding costs, how much the dinner costs. But I think $100 is usually a good rule of thumb. I know when we were planning out our wedding, I was like, $100 is not going to cover this wedding. Fuck.
Yeah.
But, you know, good thing we didn't have that wedding.
Yeah.
Actually, that is something. So the rule of thumb that I've also heard is how much it costs to cover your head. But yeah, nowadays, like weddings have increased in cost so much since when we were younger. And I heard that $100 value back when I was like just graduated from college. So like now I'm like, I don't know how much it is to cover a guest. It's probably upwards of $200 for a person.
Yeah.
So maybe people, I don't know if people out there have any updates on what is like protocol. But from our understanding, our practice, it's generally been about $100 per head, right? And then, if you have a date or a plus one. Actually, I'm curious, so when you've been a plus one to the wedding, like, do you pay for that? Or is it your, or like, or do you pay for like $50 and then your date who asked you cover $50 or they pay for all of it because they invited you?
True. They pay for all of it because they invited. And every time I've invited Philip, I pay
for his,
Like, it doesn't make sense for me to say, hey, can you pay for my friends, to attend my friend's wedding? I guess I could, right? But I think just, I guess, with our relationship and what we like the silent agreement between us more like we'll cover you because we're already paying it out of pocket just cover your costs as well or there will be like one card from the two of us and I'll just say hey can you sign this too and then I'll add the money in there and then give it to them but I think if you're bringing like a friend who just wants to go to the wedding I could see how they would maybe offer to pay for
part of the gift.
Their gift for attending.
Good to know.
I think also like in terms of gifting I would say it also depends on if you're a part of the wedding party or not, that also gets a little bit. I've had Mel came to me with the question of like, if I'm a bridesmaid, like what is the protocol for what I should give to the bride and groom, right? I think it's probably different for everyone, but from my experience, like when I've been in a wedding where I was there, it was like a very small, intimate wedding, and it was only myself and another girl who were the co-maid of honors. And so because the two of us had done all of the other kind of like bridal ceremonies and different traditions, that was our gift to her. Mm-hmm. And I didn't, there was no additional gift. But then I've also been a bridesmaid where like, maybe the bridesmaids together will gift the bride something, like they'll collect together. Mm-hmm. Or if it's a really good friend, I might give extra as well. So I think it's that one's a kind of a tricky, there's not really a protocol with that. That might depend on your relationship with the bride. Yeah. I don't know. How about you, Helen?
I agree. I think, I've only been a maid of honor once for my sister. So for that wedding, I was like, I'm going to Hawaii for you. I'm going to like Mexico for your bachelor party. I'm not paying for a gift for you.
And yeah, that was like that was my gift.
No, and do all those things and go. Back then, I think I was still in. Was I still in college? I mean, I was probably
It's different. No,
I was just younger sister out of college. Exactly. So I was. So she was like, "Yeah, don't." And she was the one that told me. She's like, "Helen, don't get me anything. Just you being here and doing all this stuff for me is enough." So I think it totally depends on your relationship with the bride, and also get a gauge of what the other bridal party members are doing and kind of use that as an example, I would say.
Yeah, that's true. These are great answers. I'm not learning. Because I think, you know, entering the bridal season, or like the wedding season as a bridesmaid or as a guest, these are things you just don't really know about.
Yeah.
Like I ask my parents, but it's a very different time from them, you know? Speaking of, you know, like attending weddings, we had to talk about the plus one rule.
Oof.
Like, I remember when Helen got engaged, I was like, what's your rule, huh? Yeah. She was like, she looked at me and Janet at the time. We're still single.
You're single as fuck.
Yeah. She was like, you both don't get a plus one. So like, yeah, what are your thoughts about it? Like, what did you hear about this rule?
Yeah, I mean, plus ones are definitely an interesting thing to navigate. Mm-hmm. Whether you're a guest and you're not given a plus one, even though you have someone that you want to bring and you want to ask for one, or you are a bride and groom, which is something that Philip and I had to experience as we were drafting up our guest list and trying to figure out who was invited or not as part of, I think we had about like 180 to 200 for our guest limit. So on these two occasions, starting with the former, there have definitely been times that, you know, Philip has asked for a plus one when we were just starting to become serious in dating. Mm. And I don't fault the friend who didn't give him a plus one because I hadn't met them before, or, you know, I was not that significant of a person in his life yet. Mm-hmm. So it made sense that they didn't give me a plus one. But each time, you know, Philip would have asked in a way where it's like, hey, if anyone can't make your wedding in RSVPs, would it be okay if I brought Helen? Very simple, and addressing it in a way where it's clear that their main guest list takes priority, right? And
that's a good way.
Like, I think 95% of the time, someone couldn't make it, and I was able to attend. Oh. So, yeah. So I think it's okay to ask for plus ones as long as you are being cognizant that this person is not on the RSVP list, and if anyone drops out, they need to fill that head too, right, for the dinner table. So they also want to fill up their list as much as possible.
And you will bring an extra gift, so it's kind of like a win-win for everyone.
That's true.
Yeah.
I never thought you could ask. But the way Phil asked was very polite.
Yeah.
Or it makes sense, Yeah,
there's definitely a technique to it. But for the second part of what I mentioned about creating a guest list and offering plus ones, I mean, man, when you create a guest list, you feel like you have so much false power over your friends. I'm going to dictate how important your fling thing is to me, you know? And I remember drafting up our guest list, and I literally said to Mel and Janet, and a lot of my close friends, I said, hey, if you find a girlfriend or boyfriend by March, and this was maybe like 6 months prior to our original wedding date, you're not going to get a plus one. And if your relationship is not defined, you're not getting a plus one.
And if you haven't had the DTR combo.
You need to have the DTR combo first. And if I've only met your significant other once in passing and didn't form a real relationship with them, and you've been dating them for less than a year, you're not getting a plus one. So those are sort of my like hard and fast rules. Not because I'm an asshole, but it's because with like 180 to 200 people, if you think about, that sounds like a lot of people, but our family members already took up 75, which left us with 125 guests. And we had the bridal party, which took up like 10 to 12. And then we had my Boston friends, Phillips Bay Area friends, our collective LA friends, our work friends, and some like maybes and post invites as well. But thinking about all of that, you really don't have room for all of these people to bring plus ones.
I agree.
Right? So it fills up, the guest list fills up very quickly, and not everyone can get plus ones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. My personal experience with plus ones, I wouldn't know. I've never had a plus one when I was either invited to or in a wedding. Mm-hmm. But when I think about it, I've probably been invited to some like smaller, more personal weddings where if I wasn't dating anyone, I didn't necessarily want to bring anyone.
Yep.
Because for some of these ceremonies, they were more intimate and like smaller. Mm-hmm. And it's like if they already knew the people, they would have already been invited. Mm-hmm. And if I bring someone extra in, it wasn't that kind of a ceremony or like event. But I have heard these rules around like, how do you like, what is the definition of someone dating someone, especially if you have a bigger wedding and you're inviting people that you don't, maybe they're friends that you haven't seen that often, right? But like you're really close still, or like family friends. And if they're dating someone, you haven't met them. And I've heard these like rules around like, oh, they had to have been in a relationship for like a minimum of 6 months or like a year. But I do think at the end of the day, it's probably dependent on your relationship with the bride and the groom. And the bride and the groom hosting the wedding, I feel like if you're like close with everyone that you're inviting guest-wise, it's your day, right?
Yeah.
And so I feel like if they have met your significant other and it's a moment that they would share with them, it would be okay. Mm-hmm. But otherwise, I don't think it quite makes sense.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've never been put in the position where I wanted to bring someone and I couldn't. But I like the tip of like, if I did start seeing someone and I was in a situation where I was not given a plus one, I think a good approach is to ask the bride and the groom if they have, like, hey, if there are extras, not, you know, like not imposing at all, but if there are, like, you know, that would be nice. But yeah, I don't know. What is your experience with plus ones, Mel?
I actually been really lucky that two of the weddings I've attended, I never asked for a plus one, but they've given it to me. I think because I had a close relationship with the bride. One of my first few weddings, I was dating someone at the time, and that whole wedding actually expedited, I think, our relationship too. And she was like, yeah, you're more than welcome to bring him. I know you're dating
someone. I remember. You guys went to, you invited him to a wedding when it was like within a month,
two months of dating.
Yeah.
Who was this?
He was the one...
Bleep it up.
The guy I talked about on the podcast when we had a relationship and then we broke up through the podcast.
All one season.
I brought him to a wedding and he didn't really know anyone, but like whether it's a kindness of her heart, she's probably listening. Hi, Leanne. Thanks for inviting me to your wedding. I think she either one gave it to me because she's like, I know you haven't seen these people in a very long time, so it might feel uncomfortable. So I want you to feel comfortable at my wedding.
Oh, that's a good thing to think about.
Super thoughtful, making sure that I think she wanted everyone to have a good experience.
Yeah.
Or two, she was like, yeah, but like I want you to bring someone. I was like, oh, okay. So then yeah, that was interesting.
I just actually see that. So if you were cost conscious as like a couple, or if you just had a lot of people to invite, and even though the person is like been dating someone for a while, but if they're going to know everyone at the wedding, then I feel like they should understand they can't bring a plus one.
I totally agree. I think it's also like,
oh, if they know everyone.
Even if it's like, they're like, oh, I've been in a relationship, but it's like, look, we really like, we're trying to keep our wedding or like the attendance within check, and we want to invite other, you know, it's like a limit for the bride and the groom.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Then as long as they have people to be around.
Yeah. I think it depends on like the bride and groom. Like, I feel like if I'm thinking about myself, I was a bride, I'm like, yeah, I would definitely have a rule like how long you've been dating, because you're just like, if I'm being selfish, it's my day or our day, me and my husband's. I'm going to have photos I look back on. I'm like, who was that? It's like, oh, yeah, they broke up. It's like kind of, there might be that situation. Mm, but like, yeah. I also understand if like, I have a really close coworker that I really love. And she might feel awkward without bringing a plus one. I might give her a plus one. And be like, I want you to enjoy it. Because she'll be bored.
Yeah. I was actually talking to one of my friends back home recently. And he was telling me how there was this random plus one that made his way into every single photo.
And that's a little.
And they were just like, why is he like ruining, you know, their high school friendship moments with this like random guy that's literally in the middle of every single photo.
Oh, no.
And he was just a plus one. So I think with that, it is kind of necessary to be selective with your plus ones. And yes, like you were saying, Janet, if it's the bride and groom's day, you know, like invite the people that you want to invite and don't invite the plus ones if you don't feel like it.
Yeah.
I actually didn't think about that. Monitoring, plus ones opens it up if you don't know the plus one to people who you could be like wild cards at your wedding, which you may not want.
That's true. But yeah, I guess another rule is like, if you're not asking like the way Phil did, like if you have extras, I used to think like, I hear so many stories too of like me, one of my friends, she recently got married. She's like, oh yeah, blank asked me for a plus one. And I was like, wait, does he not know the protocol to not ask for that? Like he just point blank asked for it. Mm. And I was like,
I know there are, I've heard from friends who are single that there's this debate of feeling like they're being biased against, right? Like if they just assume that like I don't get a plus one or whatever. But I would say it's always better to err on the side of, if you are attending their event, respect the desires of the bride and groom. Mm-hmm. And also it is totally okay to ask for a plus one, but do it in a manner where you're like showing that you prioritize their desires first, like their guest list.
Agreed. Man, so many details going into attending weddings as a guest.
I don't know about you, but it feels like a lot of my friends are now getting on that baby train. If you have a friend who is also expecting or have little ones still in diapers, I always recommend Pampers Swaddlers. With Pampers Swaddlers, you can also rest assured that this diaper will prevent up to 100% of leaks, even blowouts. Swaddlers has dual leak guard barriers at the legs to help protect where leaks happen most, and they have a blowout barrier, which is an innovative back pocket built into the diaper to help prevent those messy leaks up the back. Did you know that on average, babies will use up to 8,000 plus diapers before becoming potty trained? That is a lot. That's why Pampers Diaper Stash is the hottest baby gift for 2024. So give a gift to a loved one that says, we see you and we've got you. Pampers Diaper Stash is an online diaper fund that all parents with little ones will love. You can organize friends and family to contribute to a group gift of an online stockpile that never has to run out. Pampers Diaper Stash is great because it takes the guesswork out of choosing what size and how many diapers to gift. It's so easy to do, and it's the gift that always fits.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
Well, what about what you wear to a wedding? Mm. Your apparel. What do you ladies usually wear? Obviously, no white, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's actually, I think I remember there was an issue in one of the first weddings I was in. It wasn't even the ceremony, just kind of like the bachelorette party. One of the girls showed up in a white dress because we were like literally, I think this was actually before we got into college. Or like right after college, mm-hmm. we had no idea of protocol. Mm. And that supposedly is a thing. Like you want to avoid the color of white because that is the color the bride is wearing, right? I usually default to the classic black. I think you can never go wrong with like a nice black either cocktail dress or like a more simple dress. However, I think it depends on the type of ceremony you're going to. I've also been to some more like multicultural weddings. Mm-hmm. So for Indian weddings, they tend to really love bright colors. Mm. If you want to also go into the color realm, I would also pay attention to what the bride and the groom have chosen as their color mm-hmm. scheme. Mm-hmm. And then you can kind of go by that. And then there's also the rule of go by seasons. If it's more a summery wedding, you can go for like a summery yeah. dress. But I don't know. What have your experiences been?
I definitely make sure it's not like you're wearing a clubbing dress to the wedding. I think you have to be appropriate because, you know, the parents are attending. Some of the weddings are, you know, taking place in a church. Mm-hmm. So for me, I try to go like the knee or lower in terms mm-hmm. of length. Mm-hmm.
That's a good tip.
Yeah. Knee or lower. Nothing plunging, like, you know, not the only thing you should be plunging for is that bouquet if you're trying to guess that later on. But for me, I kind of like, colors for me, I don't really pay attention to, but I will note that it is good to, if you can find out, or if you just, are you close with the, you know, the bridal party or whatever, but try not to blend in with the bridesmaids.
That'd be confusing. Yeah.
One thing, I did go to a wedding, for Cindy's wedding, I was looking at the guests, I'm like, oh my God, I was like, she looks like she's wearing a bride, like the same color as a bridesmaid.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, confusing. That might be a little, not an issue, but you know, that's one thing. But just be appropriate, I say. Mm. And then I also followed the dress code. Because I know sometimes, like, depending on how formal the wedding is, there's black tie. Mm. So figuring out what that means, is it a gown? It's not a spring dress. So, like, know the difference of that. I think the main thing I just want to emphasize is just be appropriate with what you're wearing. Because I went to a wedding and this girl, I don't know, maybe I just think it's inappropriate. And I could be it's my own judgment. She's wearing a floor-length dress, but it was of see-through on the side all the way through her thigh. She was wearing like underwear underneath and everything, the dress to the floor length was see-through.
Wow.
So it was a trend I think a few years ago, but I'm like, you could wear that maybe for like a award show or something, like very
I see. Yeah.
But to a wedding it just feels kind of like weird.
Yeah.
And everyone was talking about like, oh my God, you see what that girl's wearing.
Yikes. Yeah, I completely agree with what you ladies are saying. And yeah, yikes on that. I think I've seen also some like super high slits. And I'm like, maybe not appropriate when there are kids and elders around.
Yeah, exactly.
But agreed that if it's like a black tie event, usually what I would wear is like more of a floor length dress. Mm. So slightly more conservative. And yeah, if it's like a beach theme, like my friend Amy's wedding in Costa Rica, which is a super fun wedding. But it took place on a beach and I dressed wrong for that one. So I wore something more sparkly and knee length. But if I could do it again, I would probably wear something more floral print and more flowy and light. So it really does depend on the kind of wedding that you're going to. But keeping things below knee length, Mel, like you said, is usually good. And I would say for the heels, this is something that through experience I would recommend. I would recommend getting these little rubber stoppers for your heels. I think they're called soulmates, S-O-L-E mates. Basically, if you're attending an outdoor wedding, there's a high probability you'll have to walk on grass. And what this little stopper does is it stops your heel from sinking into the grass or gravel or cobblestone or whatever it is to protect your heels. You can get it off Amazon, but I would highly recommend getting one of those because otherwise, You're gonna look a little trippy.
Yeah. Dude, you're gonna be sinking. I mean, I wish I had known that one. I've gone to so many where I just like sank into the lawn.
Dude.
Or like on tiptoes, right?
Yeah. You're just on your toes the whole time. Yeah.
I was maid of honor wearing stilettos a lot.
Oh my goodness.
And I was like, I feel like I'm like a camping tent.
For a tent? Picking up trash.
Yeah. So pretty much I was like walking down the aisle on my tiptoes.
Yeah.
And then once I got there, I was like, I just sank in. Good note, though.
So as we talked about with weddings, especially for us coming from an Asian American background, have you both been to weddings where there were like non-American cultural components and traditions? And did you learn anything in particular that was like different than kind of the traditional American wedding?
Yeah. So I think my first ever wedding I attended was when I was 7. in Taiwan. It was for my uncle and auntie. Oh,
Taiwan wedding.
Yeah. And it was very Chinese tea ceremony. It was like the, I think the first time I had any like exposure to that type of wedding. Mm-hmm. And ever since then, I actually haven't. But I remember, like, I was a flower girl, and I had to, like, go in this car with my uncle, the groom, to, like, my auntie's house. And, like, you know, like, he had to drink this tea or, like, something with this. There's a bowl or something. I was really young. I remember. But he wasn't supposed to eat. I think there was tang yuan or something inside the soup. He wasn't supposed to eat it, but just sip the soup. And there's a video of him, like, spitting it out. He's like, they're like, no, you're not supposed to do that. Because my uncle also didn't know the traditions as well. But they did a tea ceremony, and it was my first time attending, like, it felt like a street feast. Like, afterwards, we picked up the bride, then we drove, like, an hour into, like, the countryside, and then there's, like, a bunch of, like, tents set up and, like, 50 tables with plastic coverings. Everyone had, like, plastic bowls. Like, damn, plastic, sorry. But I remember asking my uncle, I was like, do you know anyone? He's like, I don't know 40 of these tables. So, like, it's like my great-grandpa invited the whole city, the whole town out for the wedding. So it's, like, really cool to see, like, oh, this is, like, something I used to see in the movies. And in the back, you see this gigantic wok with all this food. Yeah. So they'll serve the food and, like, you know, little traditions, like, you know, the bride and groom have to go to every table, acknowledge everyone, and take a sip of the alcohol. And there's always an outfit change for the bride. So my aunt changed out from the white wedding dress to, like, a red sparkly dress. And as the guests exit the wedding, and they also, the guests, by the way, are dressed in, like, trousers and, like, a polo shirt. Like,
like the countryside?
Kind of. Everything's very casual, maybe old school.
Yeah.
And then they would give out candies. And they'll stand outside with, like, a new change of outfit and candy. So I was like, oh, that's, like, my first time kind of attending, like, a very, like, traditional Asian, maybe Chinese, Taiwanese type of wedding. So that's only one I went to. So
interesting. That sounds so, I want to see pictures of that. That sounds amazing.
I could probably find, they have a video and then some photos.
I want to see the video of him spitting out the tang yuan.
I had that too. I actually had that.
For me, I would say the only other wedding that I've been to that I can think of that are non, like, American Western traditional are Chinese traditional weddings, similar to Mel. And honestly, I think we could do, like, a whole other episode on just what is involved in Chinese tea ceremony traditional weddings. There are so many traditions that go into it. And obviously, I've had one as well, a tea ceremony. But I didn't do the whole day. I just did the tea ceremony due to COVID. So I just had some family members over, and we mainly just did the tea ceremony, but you usually have, like, the door games. I don't know if they serve this. Door games where the groomsmen have to play these silly games and pay their way to show the bridesmaids that they're worthy enough of getting the bride out of their room.
Ooh.
So you do all these, like, I guess the games have elevated to become a little bit more modern, because I remember when Annie, my sister, and her now husband Ray were getting married, they would have, like, tissue boxes on their butts, and they had to, like, shake out ping pong balls and, you know, eat, like, weird foods and stuff like that.
Yeah, I did a tissue box at a bachelorette party.
Yeah, so they had to wear, like, these huge diapers and like, sing and dance and just, like, silly games to try and show that they will fight for the bride or something like that. And so the bride's just sitting in her room just laughing at whatever's going on. But there's also this, like, transfer going from the bride's house to the groom's house, which signifies the transfer of the daughter leaving her family. There's the combing of the hair. There's babies jumping on the bed for fertility.
Aww.
And lots of, like, just traditional things like that. Eating certain foods on the day of and making an offering to your ancestors before everything takes place and the guests come over to the house.
Sorry, I'm laughing so hard because as Helen's saying, like, oh, yeah, you know, a lot of offerings. I just remember Phil's Instagram story. He showed the offering. He's like, my ancestors about to be hella happy today. That was hella funny.
So, yeah, so Philip actually has never experienced a tea ceremony before. So he was kind of just, like, going with whatever my parents and I, like, told him to do. So we did have this huge offering for our ancestors. And Philip's like, yeah, ancestors gonna eat good tonight. I'm like, are you doing Instagram stories right now during the middle of our, like, ancestral offering? Yeah. But, I mean, it's fun. And then, you know, when it comes to, like, the Chinese banquet, the freaking best food. I honestly, there's a part of me that was like, when I get married, I want to have it in, like, a modern, nice location, but I want to have the Chinese 8-10 course meal delivered. Because it starts with, like, the cold appetizer plate with the jellyfish, which I freaking love. And then there's usually the shark fin soup, but, you know, I think that's illegal now. So it's like fish maw soup with crab meat, and fish symbolizes fertility and abundance. And there's other dishes like chicken, pigeon, noodles and rice, mm. and usually it ends with like red bean soup or the white tapioca taro mm. soup, and of course like Chinese cake, right? And also a lot of Hennessy, a lot of wine, a lot of drunk dancing, and it's just like such a fun time.
Dude, that sounds hella fun.
Chinese yeah. banquets are yeah. so fun. Have you ladies attended a Chinese banquet in the States?
I actually did that. You're jogging my memory because of my aunt. Christy got married. She did an American wedding, a traditional wedding, and then a Chinese banquet. And she, mm-hmm. like, I guess, like, there was, like, a stage and, like, the, like, elders had to sit there, like, certain people that represent, like, very close elders in her life or something. And mm-hmm. then she hired, like, lion dancing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then with the gongs and shit.
Yeah, yeah.
But then they came in and performed.
Yeah. And there's usually a lot of, like, fun games that are played, too, during the Chinese banquet. Including like, you know, going up the dress. I know this is like an American tradition too, but going up the dress to get the garter, you know, tossing it. But it gets I remember when I was a kid, I was like, this is raunchy.
Yeah. doing for, to be around family raunchy. And like grandmas and babies. Yeah.
Oh my God, I had this other memory just came freaking flooding back. So I went to my mom's wedding with my stepdad.
Oh yeah.
And it was a Chinese banquet. And there's a, oh God, there's this game they play where like he had to get the bun, she had to get the bun from like his jacket to the leg.
Oh yeah.
And navigate the bun. And I was like, what the hell is my mom doing out there? That was interesting to watch.
Mm-hmm. Wait, without hands, right?
I think she either was blindfolded or like.
Yeah, or there's something like that made it more sexual. Wow.
But, oh God, mom, yeah.
How about for you, Jay?
My cousin, Stacy, also had, she had like a Western ceremony, and then separate from that, I think it might have been 2 nights or maybe even a week before her wedding, they did a Chinese banquet. And that was kind of like, she married, her husband is Japanese, so I think they did more kind of like a Western culture for the main ceremony, but my uncle really wanted to have something for like the Chinese family and to invite his friends, so they rented, I think it was like a place in Monterey Park, like a Chinese restaurant, because a lot of them will have the set menus. Mm-hmm. And we didn't have like games or garter games and things like that, but our family is just really big on food and the booze, so there was plenty of Hennessy, there was plenty of wine, there was plenty of like cheersing and kind of just like welcoming them to the family and having the two families become one, and then just like tons of the traditional dishes coming out and stuff like that. But the first wedding that I actually ever attended was a Catholic / Vietnamese wedding. And this stood out to me because if anyone has attended a Catholic wedding, you know that the part that takes part in the church is super long. They have like lots of things that they read through, and you're constantly, the whole, all the attendees are constantly like, I think like getting on your knees in prayer and then coming back up and then getting on your knees in prayer. And I was like, I didn't grow up religious. I had no idea what was happening. I was also in this wedding. I was a bridesmaid. Oh, wow. I was just in the front row, and I was just like, I don't know what's going on. Everyone's going down their knees, and then now we're standing up. So, and they have a lot of like rituals around like burning candles and smashing different things, I think. So the girl who was my friend, she's Vietnamese Catholic, and her husband is Hispanic Catholic. So the traditional part in the church was very, I think it was like a couple hours. And then afterwards, because of the Vietnamese culture influence, they had kind of like the Asian banquet. So I remember the bride and the groom, like they were up at like maybe 5 or 6 in the morning, and you go through like 3 to 4 hours, and she's standing there in her heavy dress for like 3 hours during the ceremony, like kneeling and standing up, kneeling and standing up with candles burning. And then they go straight into this like 7-course like Asian, you know, banquet setting where they have to go to every single table and cheers and drink.
Oh gosh.
By the end of the night, she was like, her and her husband were downing like 24-hour like energy drinks and Red Bulls and stuff. And then they went straight to their honeymoon onto the flight.
Wow. Oh my God.
So, but that was an interesting one where I felt like there was a strong religious component and then a strong cultural component, and to see how that plays out, because all the people that are attending were both her family, Vietnamese, their mutual school friends who are like us, like some white people, some like Indian people, some like Asian American people, and then his family, like white and Hispanic. So it was just like all of these mix of people going from like these, some of the ceremonies that they're used to and other, you know, traditions that they have like no idea what's happening. but I think that would be kind of one style where I've been to a lot of blended, either Vietnamese, or one of my friends is Cambodian, but there always is like, they kind of fuse together the Western approach, and oftentimes they'll bring in Asian elements with either the bride, like her dress that she's wearing is traditional of like either my friend did her like traditional Cambodian outfit. And then I think for them, it's also finding like whoever is marrying them, someone who speaks both English and the mm-hmm, and the general mm-hmm. The native language. Mm-hmm. And then my other friend who is Vietnamese, she did a Western like gown, but then for the when they changed into her second dress, that was the Vietnamese kind of thing, and she did, it was a little bit more Westernized, like with gold coloring and things yeah. like that. But I find it really interesting that a lot of there's just so many different ways now that people of our generation incorporate their culture mm-hmm. and then mix it in with like kind of the Americanized way of doing things. Mm-hmm. I've also had friends who did an Indian wedding, most recently one that I was a part of for my good friend Drushti, and those are like 4 or 5 day events. And it's interesting to see how they modernize those as well. For example, there was this one ceremony where usually the groom comes in. It's kind of like maybe the equivalent for Chinese, like the tea ceremony where he's coming to the bride. So he's supposed to be coming to pick up the bride. I don't know if it's picking up the bride or making an entrance, but traditionally he's on an elephant.
Yeah.
And, you know, pre-COVID, that was their plan. And I've been to some where, you know, the bride and groom will rent an elephant he rides in. But they're modernized.
How do you just rent an elephant?
I guess zoos, or I'm not sure how, like, I think, I mean, maybe also Orange County does have a pretty large Indian population, so I wouldn't be surprised if people have created businesses around That's the true. Ceremonies and the weddings for
I
that,
need
right?
To look this up.
But okay. yeah, apparently there's a way you can rent an elephant, but also another way to do it, they rented like a really nice car for him to ride in. So he came in a convertible, I don't know, cars. It was like a really nice car and someone's driving it and the groom's on the back, like, and even he was like blasting like music, like 90s music that he loves.
Yeah, that
sounds dope. And so everyone just comes in like dancing with him. So yeah, there's just all these like really beautiful ways that people blend in their traditional cultures with kind of a more Americanized way of doing things.
Dude, that sounds dope.
How to rent an elephant in Silicon Valley, Forbes. Prices start at around $6,500.
Yeah, when Indian weddings are like these are they save up for yeah. their lives, because usually these are big events for like the family too.
That's
it's
true.
Like it's half the people that attend your wedding, you don't know them. It's like yeah. all your mom and dad's
Isn't
friends.
I guess it's like 500 too?
Yeah, usually it's like 200 to 500 people.
Dang, that sounds like a fun party though.
Expensive as book. It makes me think about, I mean, I think for Helen, you thought about kind of like, it seems like you guys had carried on that like the traditional Chinese tea ceremony and kind of kept it separate, and then when you do, you've talked about doing like a bigger event, do you think you'll want to incorporate like Chinese mm-hmm. influence or maybe keep it really more traditional
yeah
American?
I think for our bigger wedding day, whenever that will be, it might just be like a vow renewal, or I don't know what we're gonna call it, but we yeah. still want to have a gathering, because I just feel like we still want to do a big gathering, just because I think in life, this is one of those once in a lifetime moments. Mm-hmm. And it's just like a moment where you can have all of your friends and family together. Like, when else would you have that other than maybe like your 50th birthday or yeah, something yeah. like that, right? So we still definitely want to do that. Some people might do the Chinese tea ceremony early in the morning. Mm-hmm. So like they wake up at like 4 a.m., get, yeah, yeah. you know, the bride will get their makeup and hair and all that done. And then they'll do the tea ceremony, and then they'll go back into hair and makeup to get ready for their like more Americanized or Western wedding, right?
Yeah.
But I think for me, it's nice to have like checked off that box.
Yeah, yeah. yeah.
And
so
I
you don't
think,
have to, yeah.
Yeah. And I think during the wedding, the only part where I'll incorporate the Chinese traditional like ceremony stuff is just when you're going around the tables after the reception, after yeah. everyone's had their dinners, and you cheers the tables. And I'll probably just come out in a like a K-pop chi pao, you know, just like all decked out in my red and gold.
Yeah.
And just cheers people and pretend to drink. I think people pretend to drink. I don't know how you can cheers everyone and drink yeah. the whole night. But I think that's the only component that I would incorporate. Yeah. Okay. So a lot of us have gotten into the habit of eating clean. I know I feel good when I pick up fresh fruits and veggies from the farmer's market and cook the meals myself. But even if you might be eating more clean, ask yourself, are you cleaning more clean? You might not know it, but we may be eating a credit card's worth of plastic each week thanks to the tons and tons of single-use plastic we throw out. Blue Land is trying to fix that. Blue Land was founded on the belief that a cleaner planet starts at home. The way this process works is that you buy the bottle once and refill it many, many times with no more plastic waste. What I love about this product is that it's simple, it's functional, and you get these cute bottles for the home aesthetics. And most of all, you'll be making a positive impact by cutting out plastic waste without sacrificing clean. Right now, you can get 15% off your first order when you go to blueland.com/ABG.
That's 15% off your first order of any of the Blue Land products at blueland.com/ABG. blueland.com/ABG.
So you kind of went over some rules that we have learned and picked up along the way. We thought it'd be really fun to kind of share our different experiences attending the various weddings we have attended. So ladies, as a guest, what do you look for when you attend a wedding?
I think the main thing that I look for is usually just the wedding guests first. Mm. I feel like the best weddings are weddings where you know people and you can just have a good time feeling comfortable and focusing on having fun rather than trying to fill up your time warming up to strangers or awkwardly standing in the corner drinking. So usually for me, just when friends are around and there's good company and the music is decent and the dinner is decent, it's for me, that's all I really need. I think that makes for a great wedding all around. Mm. How about you, Jay?
That's a great answer. I would agree. Probably number one, I didn't think about that, but would be the people. Weddings I've gone to where I know a good amount of people there. Like if I know at least like 5 to 10 people, yeah, I know it's going to be a good time, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A good amount of weddings I've gone to where they're like childhood friends, I usually only maybe know like 2 people. So I was focused more on like logistically, I usually pay attention to the flow of how things go.
Mm.
Yeah.
Me too.
And I think maybe because I've attended a lot of like outdoor weddings and weather varies a lot. And sometimes it's really hot. And when things are like stalling or if during like cocktail hour between the, like if it's not clear where people should be going, or what they should be doing, sometimes it feels a little bit like disjointed. I think it just stands out to me when it's not done well. Mm-hmm. But when it's done well, it's not necessarily like a, yeah, it's just like a little detail.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. How about you, Mel?
I'm going to give context here and be like, I've been planning my own wedding in my head for since I was 10. So I'm not saying this to be like, damn, Mel's like a wedding judge or whatever. But I definitely pay attention to details at wedding. And I'm like learning what to do and what not to do. Mm. So with that said, when I go to a wedding, I do pay attention to flow. The general like flow of the day. From like, does a ceremony drag? Is it too long? Are the speeches like how long and dragged? Are they giving me too many speeches out? Mm-hmm. So these are things I do pay attention to. And I will say I do pay attention to food. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't have to be horrible. And music. I think music kind of helps. Like sometimes for the dance floor, like is it all hip hop? Like you know, is it the vibe? Like I also noticed that like if you have older people, like my mom made a comment like, oh, I wish I had played more music that I could dance to. So like little things like that I do note. So those are some couple things I pay attention to.
Yeah, definitely flow. Flow is very, very important. And I agree. Long speeches.
Dude.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, as a guest, can you ladies describe the best wedding that you've attended and why?
Ooh, I can't choose one, but I will say the ones that stand out to me has nothing to do with the setting, the experience even, or even the people, like even the bride and the groom. It was the ones where they read vows that they wrote to each other, like in front of the guests. So, and I've been to a good amount where they just do the traditional, like whatever is like by the book. And I think that's totally fine because I think about it. I'm like, would I want to do this in front of a crowd? Maybe not. Like I want to share with my future husband, but it might be kind of nerve wracking to have to perform kind of in front of people. Yeah. But as an attendee, I will say always I will cry. Mm-hmm. If they wrote vows to each other and read them, those are always the best experiences for me. Yeah. I don't know. How about you ladies?
I have two that come to mind and I'll for different reasons. So one is my childhood neighbor across the street, Samantha. She got married and it had the best food. Like, I'm sorry. Like, one of the best food and like decor. She did a lot of DIY with her mom, and then she's an only daughter. So her mom put a lot of effort in the DIY. Like they collected wine corks to make this like winery type of wedding. But the food was phenomenal. Like I remember having this like, amazing salad with pears and a fried goat cheese piece.
Ooh.
I was like, damn. And like, I remember her, like my mom and her mom are pretty close, and she was saying like, oh, like even the little things she thought about, like when you serve the food, she wanted everyone at the table to be served at once. So there's 10 waiters ready to lift a plate. I'm like, dang, they like really thought about this.
Yeah.
Because she's like, I don't want one person waiting with the other person, like all this stuff. The other wedding that really comes to mind is a recent one. It was my really good friend Cindy, who I was a bridesmaid for. And I think with that, it wasn't like a specific thing. Just overall, it was a really good night. And I think it's because, like, again, speeches and vows really just hit it for me. Like, I was the first to bawl and cry because I think they incorporated their dad's speeches into the ceremony. And they had the dad speak to the couple as opening to the ceremony.
Oh, fuck, I'd be in tears.
No, yeah. My napkin was, like, I was trying to fold as much as I can. It wasn't working. And I felt like the ceremony didn't drag. The length of the wedding wasn't really long. And once we head to the reception, she literally, you sat down, and then, like, they danced really quickly, but all the speeches went one by, like, really quickly. And every speech was, like, a minute long. And that was it. So I think she pretty much want all the speeches to be done with and then enjoying the rest of the night. And I don't know, it's because, like, in her wedding, there's a lot of, like, Chinese speakers and English speakers. She hired an MC from our college, actually, who spoke Mandarin and English. And he did, like, games. So everyone could be involved. Like, felt kind of interactive. Like, they did, like, finish the lyric of this song, and there was like a Chinese song or like English song, so I feel like a lot of like there was like international guests too, so it kind of felt like it wasn't just ratchet music dancing. And then she ended with music, so I thought it was a really intentional way of knowing her crowd. So I would say that was a really good wedding.
I feel like I just like went through her wedding.
I know,
that sounds amazing. That's fun. Yeah.
Oh,
how about you?
I'll say for me that the destination weddings are usually the best overall experience for me.
Is that when you jumped in the pool?
Oh, that was a great one too. Yes, my friend Amy, Costa Rica, everyone jumped into the pool in our gowns, and it was
crazy
end of the night experience. But that was a really good one. But I would say like destination weddings, mainly because you actually feel like you're taking a vacation somewhere and not, you know, like sometimes weddings are like at 5 or 6, or you're leaving your work to like rush to a wedding. It just feels like your mindset is not completely there sometimes, but you're just so much more relaxed and focused when it's a destination wedding. I know it's a lot more planning for the bride and groom, but my sister's wedding, that's the one that comes to mind.
Yeah.
She had her wedding in Hawaii with 80 of her closest friends and family. And then afterwards, she did a traditional Chinese ceremony and banquet with like 200 or 300 people. So she had two separate weddings.
Wow.
But the Hawaii wedding, it was very special just being her her maid of honor and seeing how beautiful and happy she was on that day. And I just remember the moment of like me and my mom helping her to like tie up her dress. And I don't know. I think that was just like a, you know how sometimes you just capture moments in your mind and you just never forget those. It just feels like you're there during that time because you remember it so well. So that was definitely a moment that I was very grateful for. And I felt very close to them and my family throughout that whole trip. And like the wedding itself was beautiful. We were at the Moana Surfrider in Oahu. And everyone was having a blast. It was like open bar, really fun people, lots of dancing. My dad was dancing and letting loose. My uncles and aunts were dancing and drinking a ton. And there was only like 80 of us, so it felt really tight-knit with fun people. Intimate. And I would say that was probably one of the best weddings that I've been to. Maybe more so for like the nostalgia part of it and just seeing family and friends like get together and just be so happy and close to one another.
Yeah, that sounds so nice.
Yeah, good job, Annie.
Yeah. How about as a guest, what is the worst wedding you have attended and why?
Okay. It wasn't like I would say overall experience wasn't bad, but I feel bad. Okay, I went to a wedding where I probably, to be honest, I think the food was really bad, and I don't think it was the worst wedding, but that component I will note as, ooh, make sure like my food wasn't like that. I think the main thing is because like the salad felt like someone just threw it on a plate. Like they took a box of mixed greens and just plopped it on my plate. It wasn't even like, I'm okay if like it's a messy look, but they did that and I was like, oh, it's just like you could tell like there wasn't much thought put into the food. So I think, but I understand, like, here's the thing though, everyone has different budgets when it comes to your wedding. So I'm like, I understand. But I'm just like, ooh. My mom was like, ooh, it's interesting. I was like, yeah.
It sounds like it probably wasn't someone you knew very well, but maybe like one of those like distant family friends wedding that you attended or distant friend.
No comment.
Yeah. It was her uncle.
Another thing was for that wedding, I think they were doing the best to like make sure like they got everything to ensure a nice wedding, like open bar. I think everyone wants open bar. Like, and that's kind of like a non-negotiable for a lot of people. But the problem is, open bar is really expensive. I know when you were thinking about open bar, you're like, oh my god, I gotta figure out how much people can drink.
Oh, we had an Excel file of our guest list, and we listed out how many drinks we thought each person would drink, and one of our friends, I won't say who, was very offended that we gave him a 4. Wait, like four drinks.
Really?
Yeah, because, so we all know this friend, but because he was doing a sobriety couple of months, and then we were like, oh, by the time it's our wedding, you mentioned that you're going to start drinking again, so we're going to give you a four. And he was like very offended by it. And we're like, dude, okay, you want us to bump you to an eight? I don't know. Like, I'm just trying to get an average here of how much people can drink and if it makes sense to have open bar just to pay for like per drink.
Yeah,
that's true.
But yeah.
That's hella funny. We all know who this person is. But for them, I think everything, it was open bar, but it was very like, I feel so bad saying this, but it was like very low grade alcohol. Mm. Like, I don't even know, like, even Jim Beam wasn't on the list. I was like, what is this? And I remember drinking it and literally in an hour I was hungover. Oh, I was like, why do I feel like shit already? And I was like, I don't know. Like, I ate the salad and the other thing.
Maybe that's why.
Yeah. It was just a salad. Yeah. So I think it wasn't. Overall, it was not my worst experience at a wedding. I did have a good time, but I was like, ooh, this component was not very good for me. Mm.
So noted, if you are not going to have good food or drink at your wedding, don't invite Mel.
Yeah. God, I sound like a horrible guest. Sorry,
no,
guys.
I mean, it's a real perspective of somebody who cares about events and entertaining. Right?
Yeah, yeah. And I think food is a big thing for me. Yeah. But how about you, Helen?
So for me, one of the worst moments is kind of something you touched upon earlier, Mel. It was a friend's wedding and it was after the ceremony, during the reception, which by the way, I used to get mixed up or confused all the time. Mm. Like, what is the ceremony? What's the reception? Yeah, and the way that I've kind of thought about it is that ceremony starts with a C and reception starts with an R. So the ceremony comes first.
Because C comes before R, yeah.
I don't know why. It was so hard for me to remember.
I got you.
Yeah, because it's like, they all sound good. Yeah. I don't know. Anyone else out there running into that issue, let me know. So I know I'm not the only one. But in any case, at this wedding, during the reception, the parents were giving a speech. And one of the dads took the mic, and this dude thought this was like his one and only chance to shine or something like that, because he went on for an uncomfortably long time. I don't even know what he was talking about, but it started to become very irrelevant. I think at one point he was like, future, you know, son or daughter of mine, I didn't like you at first, but now I do. And I'm just like, okay. Ooh. And you can kind of hear the audience just start to murmur and just be like, should someone take the mic away from him? Really? Like, literally got to a point where it's like, should someone take the mic away from him? So I would say that overall that wedding was nice, but that was definitely one of the worst moments that I've experienced in a wedding.
Wait, how long was this speech?
It was freaking long. It was like definitely more than 5 minutes.
No.
Yeah, no, he just kept going on and on. It literally, you could just hear, you know how like, it's disrespectful for people to start talking during a speech, but like, people started talking and I'm just like, oh my God. Like, can the bride or groom do something? But they didn't. And I was just like, yikes.
Was he drunk?
I don't think he was that drunk. He sounded coherent. He just didn't sound like he
on topic.
Was yeah. He sounded like he was just going off. Aww. Like, it was his moment to shine at his daughter or son's wedding.
Oh. Poor child, but yeah. I mean.
Yeah. How about for you, Jay? What is one of your worst wedding experiences that you've had?
I actually couldn't really think of an answer for this one, but I had a random one that just came to mind. And I don't know that it's like the worst wedding, but it's a memory from a wedding I attended when I was really young that stands out. It was one of my dad's friends he was like an uncle to me growing up. And he remarried, and I was very young at this wedding, and it was like a really small wedding. But it was once again, I think, a Catholic wedding. Mm-hmm. And we were all inside the church, and the bride was decked out in like really, really heavy, like gold and all of this stuff. And because the ceremony was so long and there were candles everywhere, she passed out during the ceremony.
Oh, oh my God.
And she didn't like, because it was so small, and we were all just like standing there, the like guests, like we caught her. But that's a memory from when I was younger. I was like, ugh, I don't like, is this what happens at weddings? Like, it was just so long and she got faint and she was like under all that stuff. But yeah, I would say weddings, like, make sure the bride gets out in one piece. You know?
Like, make sure she's hydrated.
Yeah, make sure she's hydrated.
Do you guys have any funny, interesting wedding stories to share?
I mean, the only one that comes to mind is that my husband went with me to my first boyfriend's wedding, and his name is Phil, so that was interesting for him.
Yeah.
That's it. End of story. Started with the Phil, ended with the Philip.
Oh, two weddings that really stand out to me are ones where they were my cousins, and the reason why they were stand out and interesting to me is because These are two times in my life where I was straight up was taking tequila shots with my aunts and uncles and my dad. Both weddings.
Wow.
My family are really big in like celebrating, and it's like an Asian thing with alcohol, right? But we shoot whiskey, we shoot tequila, all the stuff. And I just, those are just memories where I was like, wow, I'm taking shots like I did in college, but with my aunt and my uncle and my dad and, you know.
Yeah. That sounds fun. No, I remember when you went to your cousin's wedding, you had a video of your dad dancing. It was the cutest thing
yeah.
ever.
Yeah, I think that's what, it's just like moments where I feel like the type of like socializing and closeness that I do with get with friends when we go out like clubbing, like dancing and drinking. Like I did that with my family.
Yeah, and that's a rare thing.
Yeah, and it's like, I mean, at that point we had like my niece. So it's like you have everyone from like a 2-year-old to like my dad who's like 70 and they're all like together and kind of in that setting together. So I don't know. How about you, Mel?
Dang. I think one thing I realized with my family is that my parents don't drink that much. So I'm always the one getting – I'm the one drinking. So I think that's a very interesting dynamic to navigate to. So we got invited to a wedding of my mom's college friend. And I grew up with the daughter who's getting married. And I would find it really interesting because this is the first time I went to a wedding with my parents. But they put me in a separate table. And I was – so when I saw the table, I looked at my mom. I'm like – I don't know anyone at my table. And I was like getting really nervous. Like my social anxiety were like starting to kick in. So I drank a little too much at the cocktail hour. And I mean, I'm friended all the Asian guys at that wedding. Just, yeah, for sure. Nothing happened. But I got trashed that night though. So my parents had to drive me home.
Oh.
And stop at a stoplight so I could puke on the sidewalk.
Oh my gosh.
Now when I go to wedding my mom, she always has a plastic bag and a bottle of water in the trunk for me.
So oh my gosh.
So I mean, once you know, when your parents see you trash, it's a very different story. So I'll never do that again because that was a horrible feeling. But nothing interesting. I just feel like, you know, met people and forgot about it the next day.
Thank you all for joining us on this episode where we talked about weddings. We know it's popular wedding season. If you have any fun stories to share of weddings you've attended, please leave them in the comments of our Instagram post.
If you don't already, please follow us on Spotify, subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, leave us a rating and review, and share this episode with your friends. You can also support us through monthly donations at anchor.fm/AsianBossGirl/support or get some merch at AsianBossGirl.myshopify.com.
If you resonate with today's episode, let us know in the comments of our IG post. If you'd like to put faces to our names, you can find us on YouTube where we share vlogs, an audience Q&A segment called GRBG, and much more. Our handle on both platforms is Asian Boss Girl.
And we have a couple of shout-outs for today's episode. From Jewel to Schwan in New Orleans, I appreciate you. You are my person. Valerie in Sydney is sending a shout-out to Sky, one of her first friends at uni, whom she loves dearly and is an absolute legend. Thank you for being your goofy, lovely self. Miss you so much. Can't wait to give you a hug IRL. From Danvi to Sarah in Los Angeles, happy dirty 30 and thriving to the BB of our group. Thank you for being such a supportive friend and constant cheerleader in my life. I love you and I hope you have the most amazing time living out our cloy, crash landing on your dream in Switzerland.
If you'd like to send a shout out to a friend, check out our link tree and our link in bio and click on shout outs. And last but not least, thank you to our super talented editor, Michelle, for working all her magic on our episodes, including this one.
And with that, we'll catch you all on the next episode. Bye.